Opening arguments began today in the trial of 12 Atlanta educators. They're charged with cheating on state standardized tests. Prosecutor Fani Willis argued in the courtroom today that this was a widespread conspiracy.
Many conspirators were needed because you can't make the target for the school system and the district by changing one or two tests. It won't work. You need a lot of people at a lot of different schools.
The case in Atlanta has raised questions nationally about high-stakes testing and whether the pressure to improve scores has driven some educators to fudge the numbers.
Anya Kamenetz of the NPR Ed team has been reporting on this. She joins us now. Hi, Anya.
Hi, Rachel. When we say teachers were cheating in Atlanta, not the kids, what exactly does that mean? What did they do?
It's pretty straightforward in this case. Prosecutors charge that teachers and principals have been erasing test papers, the wrong answers, and bubbling in the right answers.
So we have gotten used to the idea of standardized tests. There are more of these tests in schools ever since the 2001 No Child Left Behind law. Atlanta is the most high-profile case of cheating on these kinds of tests, but is this something that's happening other places?
It's definitely not just in Atlanta. The former superintendent of the El Paso Independent School District is serving federal time for a similar kind of scandal. A government accountability report found that in the school years 2011 and 2012, 33 states verified evidence of cheating, and 32 of them invalidated tests as a result of that evidence.
All right, so teachers are changing test scores. This is clearly not a desired result of these tests, but have they created any positive change in the schools?
Well, anytime you have a big sweeping policy change like this, there's going to be a range of responses. Daniel Koretz, who's a professor at Harvard, has identified a range of 7 responses by teachers to high-stakes testing. And the first few are really pretty positive, working more effectively, teaching more, working harder, getting the kids to work harder. Then there are more ambiguous responses, you know, shifting resources, including your time, to spend more time on the types of questions on the tests.
Presumably at the cost of other subjects that then go under-focused.
Well, yes, there you go. There are these trade-offs. We made these decisions to test math and reading, and therefore there's more time for math and reading, less time for science and social studies, not to mention physical education and art. And then there's alignment, matching the curriculum to the material, coaching students, which a lot of people would say is an ethical no-no, like giving them old copies of the test, and of course, outright cheating.
I take it there are also concerns that schools and teachers are responding to the tests in other ways by, for example, focusing only on certain groups of students to change test scores?
Right. So under high-stakes testing, all that matters is the proficiency score, the number of kids who make the minimum cutoff on the test. And so the natural response, it's been identified as educational rationing or educational triage. It's to pick on the kids that are very, very close to passing the test. And you spend less time then with the kids who are, you know, going to ace the test and have no problem. And even more worryingly, you spend less time with kids that in one school in Texas were dubbed the hopeless cases.
Atlanta is a city with a majority black population. All 12 defendants in this particular case are African American, and it is predominantly black students who've been harmed by dysfunctional schools in that city. Can you just lay out for us any racial implications of this case?
Well, unfortunately, some researchers have found that more racially concentrated schools and more diverse schools with more minority populations are somewhat more likely to be caught up in cheating scandals. And part of the reason for that may be the structure of No Child Left Behind. You know, they laudably mandated a focus on the so-called achievement gap. And that means if you have a school with more kids who are poor, more kids who are black or Hispanic, more kids who are English language learners, that you're going to be struggling. You're really going to be under the gun as an educator, as a school leader, to try to get the scores up on that test or face sanctions, closure. And it's for these reasons, actually, that there's a long history of civil rights groups and lawsuits opposing high-stakes testing.
Anya Kamenetz of the NPR Ed team. Thanks so much, Anya.
Thank you.
We were talking about the trial of 12 Atlanta educators charged with cheating on state standardized tests. Opening arguments began today. The trial is expected to last at least 3 months.